about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Hey, guys. I had an idea. You know, we've been handed lemons, so maybe we start making some lemonade.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Paper boy, always about that paper boy. If you ain't on your grind, then you flexing, you's a hater boy. Paper boy, always getting paper boy. If you ain't making money, then you ain't a money maker boy.
He's got the face with the face.
Now, all the dogs are blindfolded, so it's a fair fight. But if they start wilding out, we're going to have to scram right quick. Junior, they'll come after you first because they'll smell your salty meat sweat. But you're big, you can handle it.
That genie was right. Salty meat sweat was a bad wish.
And now,
you know what they say. Heavy is the head that wears the pants. It's Shakespeare. Maybe pick up a book once in a while.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 1st of March.
Oh, say that again?
Oh, dear.
It's Thursday morning, the 1st of March.
Rabbit, rabbit.
There you go. Right?
Rabbit, rabbit.
Snuck up on you, did it?
It did. Snuck up on me. But thank you for reminding me, Kevin.
Now, does it count if it's not the first thing you say? I don't understand the rules on that rabbit, rabbit thing.
I think it does. I think you say, I think it's better. I think you get, there's more effectiveness. It's more powerful if you say it first thing.
I see. Okay.
But I think as long as you get it in, you know, get it in by noon, I think you've got protection for the day.
Noon.
Now, are you making up that number or is
yes.
that?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
So you're saying at the beginning of each month, you say rabbit, rabbit, and then that gives you good luck.
That's right. Yes.
And how does that work again?
Rabbit, 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 rabbit.
Right. And how does that work again?
I tell you what, it works the same way that sports jinxes work.
So not at all.
How dare you? How dare you? Hey, I was dying to ask KevDog, hashtag KevDog. You done any tagging lately, or did you just, I mean, did you get it all out of your system with the van, or are you going on a spree?
I mean,
this
I have
weekend?
Been casing
doing?
Some places.
Right.
I hope so. Look, you don't deny talent like that.
Right?
I think you're doing a disservice to America to keep that bottled up. Don't you agree, Allie?
I've got very many possibilities, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he's so good at it.
Right?
But then again, would he tell us if he was tagging?
I mean, he didn't try to hide it. He was filmed doing it last time. So
yeah.
I think he's proud of his work. I think he would let us.
KevDog.
I think he's proud of his work that we know about.
Right.
But what led him to that work and what will continue on as his work.
Correct.
Is my point.
You're very wise.
Thank you.
You just don't go to Van. Here's another great analogy. Another great Bean example.
I want to hear it.
You don't go to Van Gogh and insist that he not paint. You see what I'm saying?
I think, of course, we see what you're saying, but
Kevin has a responsibility to continue to share his
art. Saying I'm Van Gogh.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You're the Van Gogh of tagging a van.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, you are. Hey, I got a story here that it flummoxes me so much. Are we getting dumber? Is America getting dumber?
Yes.
I mean, absolutely.
I mean, it's not my imagination, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every day there's more crazy stuff happening that you just want to shake your fellow citizen and say, stop it, right?
I feel like probably most people who are incredibly stupid keep it to themselves. But it seems like it's all right now for everybody to come out and just be crazy.
People are sharing.
Yeah.
Sharing their dumbness. Well, here's the story out of Texas.
The disappearance of a fake gorilla has turned into a real debate tonight in Corsicana. The city removed the park statue this week out of concerns it was racially insensitive.
Okay.
What? Is it possible that it's racist for them to do that?
Is it?
Yeah,
yes.
That's insanity.
Absolutely.
Yes. Can it just be a statue of a gorilla?
It was a gorilla, right?
It was a statue of a gorilla.
Then that's a horrifically. That's crazy. That's so racist.
That's what I'm saying.
What?
Let's hear some more.
Got Jason Allen live for us tonight. I know that you learned that the backlash, though, has opened the door to the possibility of the gorilla coming back. Where does everything stand?
It has, Doug. In fact, one city council member told me that there will be a gorilla, but it will not be in a cage.
Okay, so the gorilla was in a cage. We'll find out why later in the story. Does that make it racist? Or, I don't know, are gorillas in cages when you see them at the zoo?
I mean, they are pretty much in cages.
Right. So I have to ask again, why can't this just be a gorilla in a cage? Why does it have to be racist?
I don't know.
Okay.
Of course, they do have a cage here tonight, and it is covered in notes and balloons and flowers. Some of it kind of in a joking manner, but some of it serious from people who are upset that they did not get a say in this decision.
After 19 years of climbing on the gorilla cage at Corsicana's community park, kids were surprised this week to find the gorilla gone.
19 years, by the way, the gorilla has been there in the children's playground park. 19 years, but now in 2018, all of a sudden, can't have a statue of a gorilla in a cage anymore.
It sounds racist.
It is racist. Here's my favorite part about the news. Allie, you're a journalist. You're practically Anderson Cooper.
Right.
Why in a story like this do they have to include this interview?
A gorilla.
It was so prominent. Gorilla Park is how Nora Reyna says her son Jason and other kids know the playground, built with a circus theme.
And he actually walked through there. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm looking for the gorilla. I'm like, it's not there no more.
I mean, we've already established the gorilla has been taken away, that it's not there.
We didn't know that little boy didn't know.
First-hand account right there, B.
Yeah, man on the street. We
brings
got it.
To life.
Yeah.
Is that part of the instructions they give you when they send out the news van, is make sure to talk to somebody about the story, even if they contribute nothing to your understanding of it?
That poor guy knew this was a nothing story and had to fill. So he's like, that mom wants to talk.
Yeah. The city manager, mayor, and a councilwoman decided to remove the statue Monday after concerns some could see it as racially insensitive.
Well, the facts is it's a black gorilla in a cage. And I think that's what I gleaned from all those comments.
Now, that's the mayor of Corsicana, Texas, by the way. Doesn't sound like he's completely on board with the decision, but it sounds like that he's trying to interpret where his constituents are coming from. Again, there are gorillas that are black,
right?
And they're in cages, and it's not representing anything other than a gorilla in a cage. Just want to put that out there again for folks who are confused.
I agree. This is insane.
Yes.
It seems crazy.
Mayor Don Denbo told us the cage was put up years ago because the statue wasn't reinforced and could fall on kids. The phone calls and conversations about its appearance, he said, grew, though, in the last few weeks.
Yes, that's correct, Alan. They're trying to protect the children by putting a cage around the gorilla, and that is apparently what upset... I don't know. Is that what upset people?
So
because now it's a black
fine.
Man in jail?
The gorilla was fine until the cage?
I guess. I mean, it's been there for 19 years.
Then right, reinforce the gorilla, if that's the issue.
Yeah, well.
Now, however, it's the reaction to that decision growing louder. It started with online petitions to bring the gorilla back. Then the tongue-in-cheek messages and displays added to the cage. And this afternoon, Stephen Lord said he would sit here until the gorilla comes back.
Oh, wow.
Now it's turning into a piece from The Onion, right? There's a guy who's on a protest. He's going to sit in the cage until they return Dobby the gorilla.
Are we sure this is real?
This is real. Yes. This is the Fox, I think, affiliate in Dallas. All right. Let's hear from Guy Sitting in Cage Guy.
After what he sees as a city government overstepping its bounds.
But in a situation like this where it's a toy for children, it's only racist if you make it racist.
Thank you.
Correct.
Thank you, sir. I can't believe we're siding with a guy who's got time to sit in a cage until a gorilla statue comes back. But he's the hero of the piece, right?
I mean, this one really does seem like it's black and white. No pun
How
intended.
How dare you? That is
no
racist.
No pun intended. I'm saying it's
Stephen has a couple people with him inside the cage now. And there's a Facebook page that's popped up. There are multiple petition pages. A lot of online comments as well. And all these people now out here tonight. They are planning a candlelight vigil for the gorilla here this evening. The mayor told us that it probably needs some repairs, and they may eventually bring the same statue back. They hope to have a decision on that maybe within the next week. But in Corsicana, Jason Allen, CBS 11 News.
By the way, there's no story anymore without a candlelight vigil somewhere. So there you go. That's
wow.
That's Texas, y'all.
Nuts.
That's stunning. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abito, shall we?
Where's my sauce?
We are going to kick off March Fatness today.
Oh, fantastic.
We're excited about that. Luke Robitaille from the Los Angeles Kings and in the Hockey Hall of Fame will be here telling you about a charity tournament that you can go to. We have your April Foolishness tickets. Today we're going to do it with knock-knock jokes in the 7 o'clock hour. So those are going to be terrible, right?
Yeah.
Always.
I respect a good knock-knock joke.
Do you?
I do.
Huh. When's the last time you heard a good knock-knock joke?
I don't know. The one yesterday, we did 5-second jokes yesterday, and someone had a knock-knock joke that I thought was okay. I can't remember now what it was, but I remember chuckling.
All right. Comedian Dana Gould will be here. Mm-hmm. Jim Rome on sports, like we do on Thursdays. And you had a genius idea, but nobody cared. You knew that your idea was gold. It was somebody that went on Shark Tank, and they had an idea for a product. And everybody on Shark Tank said, you know what? Don't think so. Just sold it.
Pass.
Just sold it for $1 billion.
Oof.
With a B.
Yeah.
So we're going to take your...
Would that
your...
be $1 billion?
You see that? You see that? You see how white people do?
We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening now. Bean's closest friend in showbiz is Jimmy Pardo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I met him that one time.
Yeah.
But you call him your closest friend in showbiz.
I believe that's accurate. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Why do you bring him up?
He's coming up.
Oh.
Just after top of the hour.
I better shave.
First Alley is here. What's happening?
Well, Kevin, you told me not to bother you with this until it goes over $300 million. And it has.
Lottery.
Powerball lottery. No winners last night. That means Saturday night's drawing is valued at $321 million. That's $189 million cash value if you decide to go that
route. I'm calling dibs on it.
You want it?
That is now works.
I call dibs.
Okay. I'm not positive.
Wrote myself a note. Going to get a ticket now.
Excellent.
Now that it's over 300, it's worth my time.
Yeah, I'm thinking by Saturday, I'm thinking 350 at least.
Okay.
All right.
I feel good about it, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean.
So tomorrow's my last show.
Oh, Bean.
I mean.
I don't.
Look, tomorrow's all of our last shows. If any of us won $300 million, believe it, we're not coming back.
I'd come back probably about 8 one day.
And with a bad attitude.
Yeah, I'd say, what are you going to do? Go ahead, fire me.
I like it. I like what you're doing. Do you want to smell like Albert Einstein?
Now or no. When he was alive?
When he was alive.
I don't know what he smelled like when he was alive.
Well, I can tell you what this cologne smells like. It's pipe tobacco, manuscripts, vintage leather. Oh, yeah. D.S. and Durga, a Brooklyn perfume house, has captured the scent of Albert Einstein in a bottle, which is very interesting. However, you can't get it unless you also buy a Menlo Crossack jacket, and that's from Levi's. Here's the thing with Levi's. I didn't know this, but Einstein was apparently quite the style setter, and he had a signature golden brown Levi's leather jacket that he always wore, and that was up for auction at Christie's. And apparently his scent kind of lingered in it. So they captured that scent, what they thought it smelled like, and they replicated it.
This all sounds terrible.
It sounds really weird, doesn't it? Even worse, if you want to get your hands on that jacket and that scent, $1,200.
Wow.
No.
No.
No. Is what I say to you.
No.
This is a dumb question, perhaps. I don't know anything about fashion, but does Levi's still make a leather jacket?
Apparently they are. Yeah, it's from Levi's.
They're recreating Einstein's one, but is that something you could buy, a product line that still exists? Because I only think about,
don't know.
Levi's being denim.
Yeah, not sure. I would do a deep dive into Levi's
You're
and have that,
that.
Story coming up. I'm not.
You're not.
I am not at all. This story came out yesterday, and it has affected me, and it's all I've been thinking about.
Really? Okay.
I know it's all that Kat Corbett has been thinking about.
Okay.
It's one of the most iconic scenes in all of movies, where Emma Thompson realizes that her husband is cheating on her. She goes to her room, she listens to that Joni Mitchell song, and has herself a good old cry. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, ladies. Love Actually. Bean, you're with me, right?
Well, it's one of the greatest scenes in movie history. It's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. And now more so. Because
why?
Emma Thompson came out yesterday in a little talk that she had about Me Too and said, here's where I drew my experience from in that scene. Kenneth Branagh, my husband, cheated on me with Helena Bonham Carter.
Wow.
What?
But you knew that. You knew that.
No.
That had happened. That's why they divorced.
I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that about Emma Thompson.
It was pretty big news at the time.
In 97?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very busy living a very young life at that time.
Doing things, going
out. Doing things. And Love Actually wasn't out yet, so I didn't know how much I was going to love Emma Thompson.
Okay.
But heartbreaking that those tears are about that jerk and that homewrecker. Oh. So I guess it didn't affect Bean as much.
I mean,
this is the first time she's told that story, that she drew on the real life experience mm-hmm. that she had gone through. But the affair was very, very public. My wife has hated Helena Bonham Carter ever since. Ever since for breaking up Kenneth and Emma.
I wish I knew I could have hated her all this time.
Yeah, you should. You should have.
And him. Let's be honest.
Sure.
He's the one that broke up the marriage. It was an 8-year marriage.
Yeah.
Jerk.
And I loved them together, too.
I didn't even really know they were together.
Neither.
Come on, you guys.
Plus, had I known it, I wouldn't have loved them together.
You yeah. know how there are some celebrity couples that you just go, they are perfect together. I'm so happy they found each other. They make an awesome couple. I mean, like Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis. Yeah, perfect together. I want them to stay together forever. Dax Shepard, Kristen Bell, perfect together.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
Seems like it's perfect together.
Yeah. And that's how Kenneth Branagh and Emma Thompson were, too. They were the ideal couple until they weren't.
Helena.
Bean really loves love.
That's what it is.
I mean, he does. We have to be hit over the head with it so often. His love for love. It's ridiculous. Some birthdays for you. Singer Justin Bieber, singer Kesha, actress Lupita Nyong'o, actor Mark Paul Gosselaar, director Ron Howard, another director Jack Snyder, and actor Javier Bardem. And that's what's happening.
See, because it's March Madness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then we take those words,
right?
And then we say March Fatness.
Yeah!
How do we do it?
The kids love it.
The kids love it.
Do we have a peppy jingle?
We do.
Fat for fat fat for fat fat for fat 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 fat.
Ouch.
Super fat.
Okay, guys, we don't have a lot of time here.
This is starting to hurt.
Yeah. That's fine. You're going to bring that down.
It's Kevin Bean's March Fatness. Okay. Dave and Beer Mug are super fat, and they want to be less fat, so they're going to do that. Follow along, or don't.
All right, we need a much shorter version of that.
I love that version.
So Mike, yeah. you sit in the room with a couple of hens looking at each other and try to guess who's fatter.
Yeah.
What conclusion have you come to?
Dave is bigger than Muggs,
right?
Mm-hmm. He stands to
good observation.
Well, Beer Mug is taller, and that helps him. Dave is a much more compact fella.
Right.
And I think that is going to serve him well because, you know, the bigger you are, the more fat you have, the easier it is to lose weight once you go into a caloric deficit.
Okay. So. Yeah, that first 100 pounds is the easiest.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, do we know what they're starting weights? Or are we going to weigh them now?
We're going to weigh them now.
Okay, are we going to guess?
I think we all should take some guesses.
Oh,
let's,
all right.
I think start with the lady in the room. Allie, do you have a guess for Dave and Beer Mug?
I'm going to say Dave is 212.
212? Okay.
Oh.
Dave.
That was Dave laughing.
Dave
by
showing
the way.
His poker
is that
face.
Super low?
Oh, my God. You are so nice.
Oh.
Or you have bad vision.
Oh, okay.
Wait, you want to retry that?
No, I do. I do.
Yeah,
I
that
do.
Was terrible.
That's
that was a terrible guess.
Yeah.
Okay,
I want
to help her out.
Let me,
that was a terrible
guess. You are 260.
Okay.
Right, 260.
In a million years, I never would have imagined that Dave weighs that much. Remember when we had Dr. Drew on that time and I said, because he was talking about Dave's health, and I said, Dave does not look fat to me. And Drew said, that's a distortion because you live in America where the country is so obese that now people who are just regularly fat don't seem fat anymore. They seem normal.
Fat, fat, fat.
We are fat.
All right, Bean, your guess.
Oh, I didn't do Muggs.
Oh, do Muggs.
Is it just Dave?
No, go ahead.
Muggs, okay, Muggs, I'm going to say 228.
All right.
Okay.
Bean for King of Mexico.
I don't think we have time to go all the way around the room and everybody take a guess. Why don't we just weigh him and see how Allie did.
Let's do it.
I was going to guess 365.
365. Okay. Dave, why don't you go first?
All right, let's get him on a scale. Now, the plan, Mike, is
He's taking off his sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because today is the first of March
and also the first of March Fatness, the thought is that they're in competition with one another. They're going to see who can lose the most weight?
In the month of March, and then at April Foolishness, which is the last day of March, we will unveil who lost the most weight and who, in fact, is the winner.
You're going to be their trainer, so you'll work out with them. You'll help them out. All right, Dave's on the scale now.
David weighs in at 248.8.
248.
Okay.
Woo!
Right. Oh, that's not good, right?
And by the way, Kevin, you're exactly right. I'm going to do everything I can to help both guys.
Okay, good.
I don't have a dog in the fight.
Mugs?
I'm going to actually drop.
We don't have time.
Oh, jeez.
Doing it like they do in the UFC.
We don't have time for that.
Mugs is weighing in for his upcoming UFC battle.
Taking off his hat.
Mugs?
With Brock Lesnar.
He took off his pants. Now he's taking off his shirt.
Mugs,
oh,
we don't
my
need
God.
Nudity.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, for the love.
This is too early for this.
Oh, dear.
Johnny Beer Mug Cantrell weighing in at 219.8.
Oh, wow. That's all, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. So for a month, they're going to work out. Now, have you figured out how many times you're going to work out a week and all that stuff?
I think I'm going to do 5 days a week.
You are?
The whole month. And I'm going to try to incorporate clean eating into the mix. And
really? For the first time
you're famous
in your life?
For.
Yes. And I think it should go well because when I do that regimen, weight just drops off me.
You're saying dieting and exercise works for you.
Yes.
Muggs, if that works for you, if dieting and exercise works for you, how come you weigh 219 pounds?
I mean, I slowed down a little bit. I mean, I did lose 20 pounds. You guys are all forgetting. I did lose 20 pounds before my wedding.
Because he can't do it.
Yeah. Well, I can't.
But that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, but I slowed down. I mean, I started eating fast food again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
Before we start passing judgment, it's really difficult to have a full-time job and a family and kind of hold it together when it comes to eating and exercise.
Agreed.
It's not exactly.
Certainly. All right, there's one more piece of business, and we'll get into this in a little more detail as the month unveils. But we just wanted to, since today's the first, we just wanted to get us started with March Fatness. So the competition is on who loses the most weight by March 31st. And as you mentioned, Mike, we'll reveal the winner on stage at April Foolishness. Kevin, do you want to weigh in with the last piece of the puzzle here?
I do. The loser gets the privilege of performing Hit Me Baby One More Time dressed as Britney Spears at April Fool's.
Oh, wow!
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I love Britney.
Wow.
You're talking the little Catholic schoolgirl skirt. Yes. Set and the top
baby
tied up.
Yes.
Okay.
I might want to lose this on purpose.
I know, right? Oh, no. I'd say, wait a second. Can I sign up to perform with anyone, regardless if they win?
Nope. They got
to
be out there by themselves.
Okay.
It's going to be good fun.
Although
you make great Kevin Federline, Michael.
Oh, yeah!
All right. Let's get started. I don't know what the first thing is, but you guys are going to work out when? When's the first time? Today?
Probably next week.
Next week. Okay.
Fat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:38.
20 minutes away from the great Luke Robitaille, Hockey Hall of Famer, joining us in studio. A lot of good stuff coming up with the Kings. By the way, Kevin, maybe I should save this for when Luke is here, but how do you reconcile in your mind that he won a Stanley Cup with Detroit?
Oh, we've talked about it. We've talked about it.
You're cool with it? You allow it?
Yeah, he's the devil for that. That year he was the devil. And then he came back and he's fine.
And he came back to the lightness and
yes,
the good?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Anyway, Luke will be here in minutes here on K-Rock. First, though, I did not see 60 Minutes this past weekend, and it sounds like I missed a good one.
I normally don't watch the 60 Minutes because it's a lot like news, although they're pretty good storytellers. Mm-hmm. But in this particular case, it was Jennifer Lawrence, and I love her.
Yeah.
She seems perfect. Not only, you know, she's perfect physically, but she's also perfect the way she handles the press, the way she handles, you know, problems in her life, gossip. She always seems to say the right thing, and it's very few people do that.
Yeah.
An amazing sense of humor, too.
Yes.
Very self-deprecating, which you don't find a lot with Hollywood women.
So here's a little bit of the 60 Minutes interview with Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence is one of the most popular, highly paid actresses in Hollywood, and she's only 27.
Would you have guessed? I didn't realize that right now she's still only 27. Because hasn't she been making movies for
100 years?
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
It's like forever.
She's the youngest actor ever to be nominated for 4 Academy Awards.
Didn't know that either.
Mm-mm.
Youngest actor to be nominated for 4 Academy Awards. Silver Linings Playbook. She did American Hustle. She did Joy. Here he talks about his her family at home, mother, father, brothers.
How did you get from Kentucky to the top of Hollywood?
Desperation, an appetite, confidence, and ambition. I knew if I just was given the chance that it would work. I just knew.
At 21, she shattered the myth that women can't carry an action franchise. Her four Hunger Games movies earned almost $3 billion.
Isn't that crazy?
Whoa.
$3 billion from those four movies. This is funny. I didn't know this about her, but she was so serious about being an actor that when she was in school, she told everyone a lie.
Lawrence's father owned a construction company. Her mother ran a summer camp. She told us her two older brothers pretty much ignored their annoying little sister.
I was constantly performing. We just didn't know that that meant I was an actor. I just thought, you know, I was a weirdo.
All right, so the weirdo then, I'm sorry, this is the clip where she tells a giant lie in school and follows it up.
But I understand that you pretended to have a problem with your leg at school.
Who told you that?
Oh, we've got our sources.
In school, I told everybody I had a wooden leg. I walked in a very consistent limp. And when my mom came to get me from school, my teachers were like, it's awful. What happened to Jennifer's leg? And my mom's like, her leg has not been amputated.
Why did she make that story up?
It sounds like it just entertained her.
Theater.
Right? That's why. She told everybody she had a wooden leg.
Maybe that was her commitment to acting to make sure that she could convincingly carry a character.
Yeah,
to walk around and pretend to be a person with a wooden leg all the time.
That could be, but that just made me laugh. And listen to how it made her laugh. She had the best time doing it. She talked about Harvey Weinstein and how he didn't do anything inappropriate around her, but she wanted him A, dead, or B, in jail. She was very angry about that. She talks about making less money than her two co-stars in American Hustle. Is that the name of it?
Mm-hmm.
And she says that's her fault. She didn't ask for enough money, and she blames that on herself. She should have. And she gets it now. And that, I thought that was fascinating as well. Did you know that she didn't finish high school?
No.
I did not know that.
Did you finish up high school?
I dropped out of middle school. I don't technically have a GED or a diploma. I am self-educated.
Is that shocking?
So middle school, not even high school.
Isn't it sort of the law that you have to go to high school?
I think until you're 16, and then you can drop out if you're, depending on what state you live in.
You guys, Kentucky.
Kentucky, right. 14, I'm sorry. Did I say 16?
Do you regret that?
No, I really don't. I wanted to forge my own path. I found what I wanted to do, and I didn't want anything getting in the way of it. And even friends for many years were not as important to me as my career. I mean, from the age of 14.
From the age of 14, when most of us, all we care about is friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's like, eh, don't need them. Got a career.
A wooden leg.
She's had a wooden leg. She's way, way, way too grown up for her age, isn't she?
Yeah.
It's insanity. She has never taken acting classes.
Come on.
That empathy. You can channel that into acting.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I act. That's really my only tool, I think.
No acting training?
No.
It's just empathy.
Yes.
Isn't that insane?
She was literally born to do this.
Yeah.
I guess so. Look, and the reason that's remarkable is that the biggest actors in the world, Tom Hanks, has acting lessons.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, they never stop doing that. So the fact that she never did it is amazing.
Now, she was one, and I don't know if you remember this, but there was a big hack of, I believe it was the iCloud. Was it?
Where, yes, where happening, right.
There were a bunch of pictures of her, nude, that had come out, and she had famously said, never going to do that in movies. I'm staying away from them, and I'm not going to do it. In this particular movie, Red Sparrow, which I think opens today, she's nude, and she talks about that.
Well, you told us you didn't like doing movies with a lot of sex in them, but Red Sparrow is all about sex. Why'd you change your mind?
I read this script that I'm dying to do, and the one thing that's getting in my way is nudity. And I realized there's a difference between consent and not. And I showed up for the first day and I did it and I felt empowered. I feel like something that was taken from me, I got back and I'm using in my art.
And that hacking incident, did it just vaporize?
It didn't vaporize, but I did feel like I took the power out of having my body
taken from me. I felt like I took it back, and I could almost own it again.
Are you worried that audiences won't see it the way you see it?
I was, but it doesn't matter. It's my body, and it's my art, and it's my choice. And if you don't like boobs, you should not go see Red Sparrow.
She knows how to sell a movie, right?
That
right?
is the greatest commercial ever.
And now I'm going to see Red Sparrow. Tickets go on sale for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness tomorrow, Friday, at 10.
At noon.
10. Just 10.
10 at noon.
Just 10 a.m. Mm-hmm.
I heard a guy say 10 at noon.
Every time I tweet about the time, I put 10, and then probably four people tweet me back and go, 10 at noon?
Rightfully so.
Yep. It's the 10th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, Saturday, March 31st at the Microsoft Theater. Another great lineup this year, including actual TV star Jeff Garland, by the way, actual TV star Adam Devine as well, plus our friend Brad Williams, Brian Callen, Doug Benson, who will be here tomorrow on the show, by the way, Sarah Tiana, Gabriel Iglesias. A great lineup for some great local charities, and we want you to buy your tickets tomorrow at 10 a.m. Access.com. Details at krock.com. We're giving away a pair between 7 and 8. Plus, our friend Luke Robitaille will be in here, too. So we'll be talking some hockey coming up after Allie's What's Happening.
Sad news to start it off. Just weeks after being diagnosed and disclosing a cancer diagnosis, Barry Crimmins has passed away at the age of 64. You guys might remember we had Bobcat Goldthwait on to talk about a 2015 documentary that he did about Barry. It was called Call Me Lucky.
Oh, that's right.
And Barry was, first of all, he was instrumental to Boston Comics. He was the one that kind of came up with everybody in the 80s, Dennis Leary, Bobcat himself, as well as Stephen Wright. All those guys came up together. But he revealed in a stand-up set in the 90s that he was raped as a child. And he went through a lot, which then led him to be an activist. And he put his money where his mouth was because he discovered these chat rooms on AOL where pedophiles were. And he basically led this crusade against the company and even testified at a U.S. Senate hearing on the matter. And he made change. And that was kind of one of his life's missions, to protect kids. And he did a lot of wonderful work and was compassionate and lovely. And he has passed away. His wife actually tweeted it out yesterday, said, "Helen here with sad news. Barry passed away peacefully yesterday with Bobcat and I. He would want everyone to know that he cared deeply about mankind and wants you to carry on the good fight. Peace." And even sadder, his wife Helen has cancer as well.
Oh, man.
So they are going through a lot. It's just,
I'm not seeing any great news in this story at all.
This is not great news.
Well, this isn't great news. This is just what's happening.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
by the way, that Bobcat movie, what's it called? Call Me Lucky.
Call Me Lucky. It is wonderful.
Really, really good, you guys. If you're at all a fan of comedy, check it out.
Yeah. It's a very hard watch, but you have such respect for this man and what he did and how he chose to live his life after something that could kill somebody.
It's sad to lose somebody like that who's doing so much good for society.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Remember when we had the little girl charity? She was the Girl Scout that went viral for using Childish Gambino's Redbone to sell Girl Scout cookies?
Yes. She's just sitting in the back getting ready to sing.
Yeah, just chilling. About to bust out this.
This is good cookie selling music right here.
That's her dad?
Yeah.
Not sure why we have the whole intro.
Not sure either.
I feel like we could have queued it up.
Yep.
We're going to get them right here.
Okay, we're going to get them right here.
Right here, right you here. Guys.
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go.
You wanna order some before it's too late.
All right, that's the part we wanted.
We also got trifles and they taste great.
Pretty much the cutest damn thing you've ever seen. Well, Childish Gambino, a.k.a. Donald Glover, was on The Late Show.
Cease and desist? Did he slap him with a cease and desist?
Did
he
not.
Is he suing her for ripping off his song?
Did not.
Without permission?
Nope. Not even a little.
All right.
Stephen Colbert said, "Did you hear about this?" And he said, "It's beautiful, but it's also crazy to me. I was never like, I'll make this, and then one day a little girl will sell Girl Scout cookies to it." And then out comes Charity.
Oh.
And she hands him an order form to buy some Thin Mints. So he met her, and then what did he do? Of course, he asked how many to meet your goal, and it was 113 boxes. He said, "I'm going to buy them all."
Wow.
Thank you. So,
yeah!
Yeah. Donald Glover. The best.
So little girl doesn't know what it's like to earn a living then.
Pretty much. She's had just everything handed to her. Absolutely. But, of course, Donald Glover on Because Tonight, season 2 premiere on FX of Atlanta. If you're on your way to work right now and you're listening, turn the car around, go back home, catch up on season 1 so you are ready for season 2 tonight.
And there's only 6 episodes in season 1?
I believe.
10? 6?
Maybe 8?
I don't know, but it's catch-upable. Catch-upable.
It's a half-hour show. It is brilliant. It is my favorite show by far, and I saw the first 2 shows of this season, and holy.
Can't wait.
Oh, so, so damn good.
And see it before Donald Glover gets super fat from eating over 100 boxes of Girl Scout cookies.
I don't know if he was getting those all for himself.
He ate them by the time he put his head on the pillow.
Right. A lot of weed on Atlanta. You never know. Some birthdays for you. We've got singer Kesha, actress Lupita Nyong'o, actor Mark Paul Gosselaar, Javier Bardem, Ron Howard, Zack Schneider, Jensen Ackles. And that's what's happening.
Way down we go.
And Whiplash.
Greatest left wing in the history of the league.
Luke Robitaille.
Luke Robitaille.
I remember playing my first game at the LA Forum thinking, man, this is it. I made it.
Unbelievable shot.
Robitaille shoots. He scores.
He scores, and that's what he's done for 17 years.
And Robitaille again. He scores. Luke Robitaille.
Luke Robitaille just caught the goaltender sleeping.
My name is Luke Robitaille.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, he's back on the Kevin and Bean Sean K Rock. Good morning, Luke. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
Great to see you.
Wait, turn on the mic. I'm not sure it's working. It's up. It's up.
Honestly, I'm not sure.
I was told to
I told
stay
you
really
to stay
close to the mic.
All right, that's better.
My personal mic coach here.
Thank you,
Luke,
Kevin.
We have so much to talk about with you. It's always a pleasure and, in fact, a thrill to have you in the building. And I mean that sincerely. We're happy to see you. But this just occurred to me as I was walking upstairs a minute ago. When you're a former athlete and you're known for being a famous athlete for so long, are you ever allowed to get fat in retirement?
You're allowed but not by your wife.
Because I would just say, because people always picture you as being this, you know, this perfect specimen out there on the ice.
Take it easy.
But if they run into you now and you're a big fat ass, I would think it would just be, it would hurt too much for you to make that happen.
It's a good point you're making, though. Sometimes I run into guys that I used to watch and idolize, you know, when I was a kid, and I see them all heavy. I'm like, oh. It's kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
It's kind of
sad.
Yeah. You really want to go back in memory lane. But it is weird. I learned one thing about, like, retiring. You have a choice. You either work out real hard or you cut down on the french fries.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's the secret.
So which one did you choose, working out real hard?
Cutting down on the french fries.
Oh, please.
Well, we got so much, as I mentioned, so much we want to talk to you about. But let's start with the reason why you are here, because not this Sunday, but a week from Sunday, March 11th, you have the Luke Robitaille Celebrity Shootout 2018. Now, what's the background on this event, Luke?
Well, that's a game my wife and I have been putting together for a few years. We used to do it at the Film Festival in Park City. And, our foundation, Echoes of Hope, we've been working. We help emancipated foster youth. We see them through college and so forth. And
I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know that you could age out of foster care until your charity.
Yeah. Well,
where they literally, now they're 19 and they have no help.
Yeah. I think the statistic is like 63% of those kids end up homeless within 6 months.
63%.
Oh, no. So what we do is we take those kids, the ones that want to work hard and want to go to college, we make sure we see them through college. A lot of time, it's not really money, it's support. I mean, we forget that when they were in a group homes, you know, they don't have a mom and dad to go back to, and they're not allowed unless the person they lived with, you know, allow them to even talk to them. So
is that right?
They don't know who to talk to. Every one of us has had someone we could talk to when we're 21, 22. I mean, I was still trying to talk to my 29-year-old last
he
night.
He doesn't want to talk to you.
They never listened to us. So we make sure we see them through. So we have one kid who's an attorney now. Many of them have jobs, and they go out there, and they help in their community. And they always say they want to pay it forward, which is the key.
I don't want to put Luke and his wife on blast for this, because obviously they've got this great charity. They do work. They let people know what they do. But what you guys have done behind the scenes and stories that people don't know about how you take care of these kids, stories about you and your wife are legendary. When I lived in Park City, bringing people into your home and taking care of them, going above and beyond. You've done amazing work. This charity is unbelievable, Luke. You should be really proud of this.
Well, that was my wife's idea.
And by you, we mean your wife.
Thank you. I'll take all the credit, guys. But she did. She had a bunch of family stay in our house there in outside Park City. And I remember when she told me, I was like, oh, that's a good idea, honey. I didn't know literally she'd be
going to New Orleans.
And got the families. Yeah. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
She gave them a chance to start their life.
I've met a lot of these kids that are in college or have gone to college, mm-hmm. and they call Luke and Stacia mom and dad, and they're amazing kids.
Yeah,
they're really amazing.
It's really interesting because it usually takes them 3 to 6 months, and at some point they'll usually start with my wife, and they'll call her mom, and then they'll literally ask us if they can call us. Like, they'll call me Pops. And they call her mom, though.
But Do they ask you?
They will ask.
Is that
it
right?
It is a privilege to them to call someone mom and dad.
Wow.
It's really special.
Is there a particular reason, Luke, why you and your wife gravitated toward this particular kind of charity work? Was there something in either of your past that this touched?
No. For my wife, she lived in a car for when she was young, so she remembers that. And but I think the biggest thing was when we decided to help the kids out of Hurricane Katrina, the families, and they moved into our homes, we saw that there was a hole. You know, there were kids like 16 to 20 years old, because everybody wants to help different foundations, you know, whether it's a children's hospital or for kids and so forth. But we really felt there was a hole there. There's these kids that graduate high school, which the percentage of those kids that live in group homes is very small. And then those kids that graduate high school that want to go to college, when we realized that, I think it's 3% of the kids that graduate high school that want to go to college will succeed. You know,
wow,
after.
That's a terrible number.
And the reason was, it's not because they don't want to work hard, because they don't have any support when they go to college. Their first book of their run for books, you know, then next thing you know, they have no money. They don't know where to go. So that was a hole that we saw that we could make a difference, because you go to these either group homes or you go to these foundations that help these 16-year-old under 18. And then you see which one's willing to work hard. And if you say, okay, you're willing to work hard, go to college, we'll make sure we see you through versus, you know, having to get out of college after a year because you can't afford it and so forth. And then the idea is, when you go back to those places, we want those kids to say, no, if you work hard, look, there is a foundation that will see it through.
That's amazing.
And you can get a job. That's kind of like the idea.
This is
that's
Luke
the
Robitaille.
Idea, and that's how it works, too.
Yeah.
It's working successfully.
It works,
president of business operations for the Los Angeles Kings, NHL Hall of Famer, talking about, among other things, the Celebrity Shootout 2018. Let's talk about that day, Sunday, March 11th, Toyota Sports Center, which is where the Kings train. Mm-hmm. You got an all-day event, including a red carpet and youth clinics. And tell me about the game itself. A lot of your hockey-playing celebrity friends are in it?
Yeah, pretty much everybody that plays hockey in L.A., you know, or outside will want to – usually comes, and we have a lot of fun. Last year it was special. We did the All-Star game. So it was pretty neat, and that's when I think Chris Bronger ran Justin Bieber in the wall.
Yeah, he did. I mean, look,
that was a highlight. He became all of our heroes that day.
But guys had a blast, and all my friends usually come together, and we play. We make it a real fun show, and I think it's fun for the fans to have the opportunity to see guys that they idolize, they've seen before. We have a weight limit on most guys, Kevin. We make sure they're staying shaved, guys.
Is that right, dude?
No, but it's a blast. It's at 4 o'clock. There's still a few tickets available. I think you go on echoesofhope.org. You can order. It's at our practice facility at Toyota Sports Center. We just have a lot of fun, and, you know, it's just we appreciate the support.
You asked me to be a coach one year,
yep.
And I remember standing behind the bench thinking, I thought I knew a lot about hockey,
mm-hmm.
and I don't really. And I'm going to just need to say something, because there's no need for a coach there. You guys know what you're doing, and you talk with other guys on the ice. And I'm not needed, so I thought I was going to have to do a little coaching, and I didn't have to do any. But I just tried to say one thing. I just wanted to keep track. I just wanted to say, fourth line! And I said that, and Rob Blake goes, third.
who's the best non-athlete celebrity player, Luke? Is it Boreanaz?
Dave Boreanaz is really good. He's played for a long time, so mm-hmm. he's a good player.
I didn't know this either. A lot of these celebrities playing.
Taylor Kitsch is a really good player.
Oh, really?
He plays all the time. He's a good. Michael Vartan's a good player, too. Cuba, Cuba started as an adult in the 90s, and he's a great skater. He can play. We always joked that we should open a Zamboni door at the end because he can't stop. So he just he could go in the parking lot. But he's a good player.
All right. We got to take a break. Luke is here again. The details of the Celebrity Shootout 2018, we can go to your charity page, echoesofhope.com. You can also find it at lakings.com. You can buy those tickets. It's a week from Sunday, Toyota Sports Center. It's an all-day thing, including the Celeb Shootout game. Sounds like so much fun. We have much more to discuss with Luke when we return right after this on K-Rock.
That Luke Robitaille statue out at Staples Center is 19 feet tall and weighs 2,500 pounds, you guys.
Just like real life?
Is it true? Like,
I don't know. That's what they say.
Right. Look, if Bean says something, it's usually right. He usually researches stuff pretty well.
Luke, when you're walking into the building, do you go out of your way to go by the statue just to kind of check on it, wave at it, look at it?
I don't wave at it. I'll look at it once in a while.
You high-five it, though, don't you?
High-five it. Isn't that the coolest, though, to think, and I know it's been a while now, but to think that, you know, 100 years from now, hey, that's Luke Robitaille. You know, I mean, it's cool to have that kind of permanence,
years?
I think.
That seems like a long time. I'm not sure Staples Center will be around.
You think it'll come down
years.
Before then?
I think it'll come down. Remember, like Planet of the Apes? You know, it'll be sand, just the ants sticking out, the hockey stick sticking out.
Well, Luke is here because of the Celebrity Shootout we told you all about, but we neglected to give away the tickets. So let's take care of that business right now. We have 5 pairs of tickets if you want to be there at the Toyota Sports Center a week from Sunday night, March 11th. You can call now 1-800-520-1067. We'll take the first 5 callers through. A couple of nights ago, you had the gold medal winning women's Olympic hockey team. You honored them ahead of the Kings game. How fun was that?
It was very special. I mean, it's, you know, we learned about it on Sunday. Like Rob Kosh, that does our traveling, used to work for USA Hockey. And he sent us an email. He says, you know, they're going to be here tomorrow doing the Ellen Show.
The whole team.
He says, you know, we should hold. And we kind of, everyone on our staff just went all out. And it was an honor to have them. I mean, it's pretty special. And it was amazing. They hadn't slept for like 3 days straight. The only time they got to sleep was on the plane.
Yeah.
And they were just so special. And they went above and beyond for everyone, those girls. And it was amazing. And just to have them all there. And everywhere they were walking, people would either stop and cheer them on. And
oh, yeah.
We have our women's teams called the LA Lions. And they went between pairs and met with them. And but what was neat is they took a bunch of questions, the whole team. And then after that, we said, can you split amongst all the little girls and take pictures? And they stayed there forever.
Yeah.
And they really spent time talking to them and helping them. So it was they're very special girls. They already understand their role, which is an important role. And, you know, not only we look at it, you know, they're going to help the growth of hockey, but just making a difference with a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get to play? Forgive me for not knowing this. Did you ever get to play in the Olympics, Lou?
Nope, never did. No, played the World Championship. Then it was another thing called like Canada Cup. I never got to. My year could have been 98, and I just didn't make it. It would have been fun.
We had this conversation after that gold medal win, which their goalie was so good. We were wondering if there's ever a possibility that a goalie, a female goalie, could make it in the NHL.
Well, there was one that she played one game, Manon Réaume. She played
with Tampa Bay, right?
Tampa Bay, yeah. She actually was really good. She was for Team Canada. She was the best goalie at the time. And she's played in our celebrity game many times, and she was really good. And
you make sure she's on your team? So you don't have to shoot
on my team against my wife, yeah. But, no, she and this little girl is good. I think there could be a girl that could play one day. You know, I do believe there was a girl that played for Team Canada a few years ago, Haley Wickenheiser. She was, you know, 6'1". She was like, she had the size and everything. She could skate. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to say she could have had a chance to play.
Mm-hmm. Maddie Rooney is 5'6", so I'm giving her more props.
No, she's, right? Yeah, she's just a little
screw Canada. Who's with me, Luke?
Unbelievable.
High five.
Screw Canada, right?
Hey, 2006. American citizens since 2006. Oh, come on. Come on.
All right, Kevin, now's your chance. What complaints do you have about the Kings season this year?
I don't have complaints. I don't have complaints. I like the way the season's going. You guys made a lot of changes, and I feel like it's got to be much more nerve-wracking to be in your position now than it was before because it's sort of on you.
Thanks.
Well, let me rephrase that as a question. Is it sort of on you?
I'll tell you, Monday I was nervous. Like we didn't play real good Saturday, but we almost came back. We understand right now, it's like you win a game and you're in third place in our division. You lose a game, you're suddenly in ninth or tenth place. You know, how much movement. So we knew Monday was a big game, and to come back and our guys showing the character that they did and come back and then tie it up and then win it, and then certainly then going to Vegas on Tuesday and play the type of game our team played, it felt good. But that being said, it's sports. You know, the next day you wake up, it's like, oh, we got to win Thursday. we got to win tonight. It's such a big game. Every game is really important because it's very tight. It's a tight race. We know there's four teams in our division, and there's two spots, to get in.
You weren't as nervous as you are in management when you played, right? When you play, you're focused on what you're doing. And
yeah, when you play, you're not nervous. You're just playing the game, and you're intense about the game and what's happening. And when you're management, there's really nothing you could do. I mean, you sit there, and I remember thinking Monday, what am I nervous about? There's really nothing I could do. Even I'm trying to will the guy to doing something. So at some point I've sat back, but it lasted only a couple minutes and I was nervous again, but it's totally different.
So happy to have Jeff Carter back.
Same.
It's
been a long time since he's played.
5 months. I mean he's worked really hard to come back, but what's really hard for us, well actually every team, is there's no time to practice. So he's only had one practice with our full team. And then he went on and played 3 games in 4 nights.
Yes.
That's not easy for the poor guy. I was like, damn, it's hard.
Luke, before we run out of time, how do we explain the inexplicable first-year success of the Las Vegas Golden Knights?
I think if any of us knew exactly how to explain it, we'd all be competing with them. But
they literally weren't a team last year.
Yeah.
And this year they've been killing
in our
until they met the Kings the last two games.
Every sporting event, I mean, every league is a speed kills, their GM was really smart. Like the new system that the league had to bring a new franchise where you can only protect 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, 1 goalie out of a 23-man roster.
So every team had to set
you were for sure going to lose one good player. And then they got to pick one on each team. They got to pick 31, and I think they're scouting. For 1 year, they didn't have to watch their team. They didn't have to watch him. They only scouted their guy, and they did a tremendous job at picking the right guys that was going to fit their system, which was obviously emphasized on speed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming in. They surprised a ton of team. I mean, they're not going to surprise anybody anymore, but they are a really good team. They did a tremendous job, and I think it's good for hockey.
Do you guys feel like we do? Like, at what point are they going to come back to Earth?
Because nobody can keep that up. I think we do, but when you watch them play, you're like, I'm not sure they will.
Wow.
I mean, they have enough speed to go, and everybody does data analysis and so forth. They have the most amount of players that were drafted in the first or second round of any team in the NHL, so that just tells you they got a lot of talented players.
You've been asked a lot lately, because people are looking at when contracts run out, the expectation for Drew Doughty staying with the Kings at the end of his deal. You're feeling pretty good about it, it sounds like.
Yeah, we do. I mean, there's people forget they're talking about it. We can't even talk to him. We're not allowed, according to RCB, till July 1st. And he's up next July 1st in 2019. So, we know we want him to stay. He's the best defenseman in the NHL, no doubt. There was a pool where every NHL coach has talked about who's the best defenseman. It's Drew Doughty. And we know that. We know what he means to our franchise. We know what he means to our fans. And he likes L.A. He wants to stay here. He wants to compete, though. He wants to make sure we always compete for the cup. And that's
I want
our
every
goal.
Player to feel like that.
Yeah.
Don't you want every player to want it that bad?
I think every player feels like that. On our organization, they play a special way, our players. When I watch our team, there's always a certain pride that I have because they play a certain way that they play for the team. And I think it comes from our leaders, Jonathan Quick, Jeff Carter, Anze Kopitar, Drew Doughty, where they're not about statistics. They're about the stats they want is to win
right.
first, and then they're great players on their stats. We always say probably Jandrzej Kopitar could get an extra 20 points on another team if he cheated along on the ice, but he doesn't because he helps us win every night.
All right, let me ask you my final question, Luke, and that is you've been out of the league as a player for less than 10 years now.
Yeah.
But isn't it far enough removed that you can not believe the amount of money some of these new contracts are and some of these new contracts are going to be, like what you could be making right now if you were still playing?
It is crazy. But I always think when I think like that, I always think when I was a player, I remember hearing the guys from the 70s saying it was crazy
right.
when we played.
You guys were cleaning up compared yeah. to them, right?
Yeah. But it's just the way sports is, you know. It keeps going up. And I think the players that sacrifice themselves and do all the sacrifice to get to this level – they deserve it. I mean, it's just the way it is. And, you know, they deserve the money. And then guys now, like, they're machines. Like, it's not the way it used to be when I came, where after the game, oh, let's go have a beer, let's have this. They eat properly. They train every day. It's 12 months out of
the
year.
I mean, you were smoking during the game, Luke. Oh, yeah. Come on, let's be honest.
No, you know what's funny, though? My first year, we had a goalie that would smoke in the bathroom. The new rule was you could smoke in the locker room, because 2 years prior, guys would smoke between period in the locker room.
Oh, that's crazy.
And
they would do,
and the biggest thing to help guys was it wasn't just Coca-Cola. It was Diet Coke was allowed to drink between periods. I mean, that
crazy.
Was the new thing.
All right, we're out of time, unfortunately. Luke,
having fun.
I do want to thank you personally and the Kings for supporting our charity, Friends and Helpers. We're always super grateful for
it's
that.
It's always fun, too.
And this is Luke Robitaille's Celebrity Shootout 2018. It's a week from Sunday at the Toyota Sports Center. You can get details at LAKings.com.
Yeah.
And just a few tickets available, Luke was telling us. We'll see you soon, my friend. Thank you for coming, guys.
On. Great to see you guys.
Thank you.
All right, let's open up the phones right now for Kevin and Bean listeners at 1-800-520-1067. Tickets don't go on sale until tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Access.com for the 10th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, but we want to give them to you right now, 1-800-520-1067. You will have to earn them. Kevin, what are we looking for this time?
I mean, are we sold on knock-knock jokes?
Knock-knock jokes it is.
Is that a final decision?
Yes, it is.
Bad.
That's
bad.
What we're going to do. 1-800-520-1067. Call now. So I'm asking if this is a final decision or is there time to revote?
Look. Haven't we been talking about how people can't tell jokes?
Yes.
Knock-knock joke just strips it down to the simplest parts.
But none of them are funny.
Let's find out.
Okay.
Let's find out. Here's the deal. We're giving away tickets before you can buy them. They don't go on sale until tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Access.com to the 10th annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. We're so excited about this show. It's March 31st at the Microsoft Theater. Our friend Fluffy, Adam Devine, Brad Williams, Brian Callen, Doug Benson, Jeff Garland, Sarah Tiana, all on the lineup. A great evening of comedy. Proceeds to Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund and Cedars-Sinai NICU. DJ Mike Realm, by the way, doing music and video for us that night. It's going to be a great event, and we're giving them away for you right now. What's this game called, Kevin?
The School of Hard Knock Knocks.
School of Hard Knock Knocks. Who's there? It's April Foolishness, and it's a funny show. So tell a knock-knock joke and make sure you don't blow. It's super easy now that you know. But if you don't know, here's a little demo. Knock, knock. Who's there? Radio. Radio who? Radio or not, here I come. And that's how it's done. School of Hard Knock Knocks. Who's there? School of Hard Knock Knocks. Who's there? School of Hard Knock Knocks. Who's there? School of Hard Knock Knocks. Knocks.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067. Let's give away another pair of tickets for Kevin Reed's April Foolishness. So, just like we do, if we have a favorite, they win. Otherwise, there's a drawing, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Let's start with Paul in Anaheim. Hi, Paul.
How's it going?
Good. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Knock, knock joke, please.
Yes, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Dwayne.
Dwayne who?
Dwayne the bathtub. I'm drowning.
Come on, Kevin, that's funny.
Is it?
Because it's Dwayne, and then he says, you don't get it.
I get it. All right, let's go to Jamie from Garden Grove. Hi, Jamie.
Hello, party people, what's up?
Good morning. You got a knock-knock joke for us?
I do.
Okay.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Robin.
Robin who?
Robin you. Now hand over the cash and the tickets.
Boom.
School of Hard Knock Knocks.
Plot twist. Allie, where are you on Knock Knock Jokes? You're being strangely quiet.
You're so excited about this.
I am. How about you, Allie?
I support the people that are online.
Okay, good enough.
This is awful.
Let's go to Kimberly in Northridge. Hi, Kimberly.
What did you, nephew?
Doing the School of Hard Knock Knocks.
Please turn Kevin around by giving us an awesome knock knock joke.
Okay, knock knock.
Who's there?
Europe.
Europe who?
No, Europe who?
Come on.
All right.
School of Hard Knock Knocks.
She's back in.
All right, she's all back in. All right, that's three. Who's up next?
Next is Sylvia in San Pedro. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi.
Knock knock joke, please.
Yes. Knock knock.
Who's there?
Britney Spears.
Britney Spears who?
Oops, I did it again.
School of Hard Knock Knocks.
I didn't even get it, but I like it.
You don't like it.
I do.
You don't. Hold on one second.
Because it's a surprise. You don't see that coming.
Right. All right. Adrian in Burbank, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. We need a knock joke from you, please.
All right, knock knock.
Who's there?
Broken pencil.
Broken pencil who?
Never mind, there's no point.
School of Hard Knock Knocks.
I mean, I'm getting points for the delivery. All right.
See, this is fun, you guys.
How do you love knock knock jokes this much? You hate regular jokes.
I do hate jokes. That's right. I don't enjoy jokes. But this is a great art form, I'm saying.
Sure.
Oh, come on.
It just hasn't been practiced today. All right. Casey in West Hills. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Knock knock joke, please.
All right, knock knock.
Who's there?
Cash.
Cash who?
Cash me outside. How about that?
Huh. So
School of Hard Knock Knocks.
I see what you're going for.
I feel like maybe she made that up. I give her points for that.
Okay.
Not just telling one she heard somewhere else. David in Woodland Hills.
Good morning.
Give us your knock knock joke, please.
All right, knock knock.
Who's there?
Yoda lady.
Yoda lady who?
School of Hard Knock Knocks.
Kevin just got it. I saw it cross his face.
I didn't, but I like that he just waited and laughed. That I loved. All right. Do we have time for one more?
Why the hell not?
All right. Nicole in Irvine. Hi there.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Knock, knock joke, please.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Dewey.
Dewey who?
Do we have to use a condom every time?
School of Hard Knock Knocks.
Yikes. I like a comedian and a goer. I like it. All right, you guys. We got Paul with his knock knock joke with Dwayne. We got Jamie with Robin. We got Kimberly with Europe. Allie, you laughed. Sylvia with Britney Spears. Adrian with Broken Pencil. Casey with Cash. David with Yoda Lady. And Nicole with Dewey. Any standout favorites for you guys?
Hated them all.
I mean, I turned around with Europe, but I also love the delivery of the broken pencil. So
it was pretty good.
That's tough.
By the way, I just want to clarify, I hated all the jokes, not the people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought the delivery was great. I think we need to do a drawing here, you guys, because I think there are several worthy competitors. Unfortunately, we only have one pair of tickets for Saturday, March 31st at the Microsoft Theater. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. For the rest of us, they go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. Miss Allie McKay, one winner, please, is going to be whom?
He started it off. It's Paul from Anaheim.
Paul! Yeah! Congratulations, Paul.
Thank you.
Congratulations, and we'll see you at April Foolishness.
School of Hard Knock Knocks. Who's there? School of Hard Knock Knocks. Knocks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54. We started complaining that K-Rock has billboards, but Kevin and Bean don't have any.
Because
It seems like every other morning show in the market does, and we don't. So, but people are putting up their own, which is amazing. I tagged a van, so now we own a van.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that works.
As ownership is 9/10 of the law.
Right.
What I heard
a guy say that, which is
absurd. People are in love with the work that you did on the van formerly owned by The Sound. I mean, you just straight up tagged it with Kevin and Bean and K-Rock and
I mean, the station went away, so The Sound doesn't exist anymore.
Right, so no one's using their van.
Right.
So now it's our van.
Right.
Hashtag KevDog right on the back. And if you want to get your photo taken with the van, and why wouldn't you, it is currently at the Irvine Spectrum, you guys, directly in front of the Target. The Irvine Spectrum right in front of Target on Spectrum Center Drive. And I think it's going to be there for about an hour. And as I understand, not only did they bring the van, Kevin, they brought some stuff to give away as well.
Yeah, they got K-Rock t-shirts, Kevin and Bean t-shirts, screening passes to Disney's A Wrinkle in Time right there at Edwards Irvine Spectrum.
Fantastic. So get down to the Spectrum for the next 60 minutes or so right there in front of Target in Irvine. Get your picture taken with the van and be sure to tag us when you upload it on social media because it is a work of art until Kevin gets arrested for it. We'll talk sports with Jim Rome coming up right after 8. First, 7:55. Allie, what's happening?
I don't know what it is with old dudes doing interviews that they then need to apologize for.
They just don't give an F.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Well, Keith Richards, who's 74.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Well, that was him right there. He did an interview with the Wall Street Journal magazine Style Issue where he called his bandmate, Mick Jagger, a randy old bastard. He also suggested that maybe he needed a vasectomy after he became a father for the 8th time in December 2016 at the tender age of 73. His exact quote, "It's time for the snip. You can't be a father at that age. Those poor kids."
I understand you don't want to maybe talk behind your bandmate's back, mm-hmm. but he's not wrong.
No, show me the lie. There is no lie there. Absolutely.
I mean, Mick Jagger is... How old is Mick Jagger?
73.
Yeah, 73 is when he had the kid. So
he doesn't need to be having his 8th kid at 73. Just even if he can afford it, he's not going to be around for that kid.
Agreed. Well, Keith Richards has expressed remorse. He tweeted out an apology yesterday. "I deeply regret the comments I made about Mick in the Wall Street Journal that were completely out of line. I have, of course, apologized to him in person." And then he went on, though. He also sounded off on some of the new superstars that are out today.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Sheeran, seal of approval. Okay. He's all good with him. Same with Lady Gaga, says that she's got real talent. However, just a little bit less sold on Taylor Swift.
Mm.
This is his quote. "Good luck, girl. Wish her well while it lasts." He then says, "I've just been around too long to be picking the bones out of kids. It wouldn't be fair of me. And I've always been an opinionated bastard anyway." I say Keith Richards 2020. Who's with me?
Will he still be here?
I don't know. Okay. Good Lord.
Well, the joke is always he'll be the last surviving person on Earth.
Yeah, I feel nothing like he's just pickled. He's good forever.
I mean, wasn't it like 40 years ago he had to get a total blood transfusion because he had so much heroin in him?
That's crazy. He's still alive.
That is
still
nuts. Alive. By the way, your girl T-Swizzle, she was at the Ventana Resort doing a falcon experience. She took a 90-minute class on falconry.
I saw that.
What is that?
Where they teach you all about
how to handle a falcon.
Falcons, mm-hmm. Yeah. You put on a big old glove and they fly to you and you're like, "Hey, falcon."
You're like, what?
"Hey, falcon."
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't completed the course, but I've done just a brief reading of it.
I see. Okay.
But that's kind of an interesting thing to do, right?
Yeah. It's always fun when you can get up close to animals like that.
I've said that for years. Absolutely. So this Manson movie that we've heard so much about Quentin Tarantino doing, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, has found its two big stars.
Okay.
Quentin Tarantino has added Brad Pitt, and he will also star with Leonardo DiCaprio. So that is now settled. There was word that he was trying to get Tom Cruise as well. But here's the thing, which I didn't know about. I was wondering who they would play.
Yeah.
Would they play part of like Manson's inner circle, those those killers? But apparently the film is about the former star of a Western series, which is Leonardo, and his longtime stunt double, which is Brad. They're struggling to make it in Hollywood, and they don't recognize Hollywood anymore. But Rick has a very famous next-door neighbor. Sharon Tate. Okay, well, that's where the Manson comes in. Their next-door neighbor is Sharon Tate. It seems like a very roundabout way to talk about a Manson movie, right?
Seems like they should be starring in this. No?
It seems
like they're just adjacent to this movie.
Well, they're the stars of the movie, but it's not so much about Manson except that they live next to Sharon Tate, who was murdered by Manson.
Well, maybe that's just how he's choosing to tell this story.
Look, I give Quentin Tarantino the benefit of the doubt.
He seems to know.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
All Plus, right. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
Good point.
What if they need you to do some voiceover work?
I mean, I'm available.
Okay, excellent. Some birthdays for you. We've got Kesha, Lupita Nyong'o, Mark Paul Gosselaar, Ron Howard, Javier Bardem. I can't. I just want to say Harvier. Wow, I'm white. Zack Snyder and Justin Bieber, and that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
You guys, Jim Rome is getting it done. 9 till noon Pacific time on the CBS Sports Network. You can listen to it at jimrome.com. You can listen to it on the Sirius XM satellite radio. You can also watch him on the TV on the CBS Sports Network, too. He's everywhere, and the new podcast episodes drop every Tuesday. Mr. Rome, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, sir. How are you?
You guys are so great, but what I'm about to do right now is going to be so much better than anything I do later on today, so I'm pumped to be here.
Well, we're pumped to have you, and in particular, I enjoy having you on when there's a story that I know is important, but I haven't taken the time to pay attention to the details. This is the definition of too long, didn't read. All this FBI investigation into potential NCAA violations, is this just more of the same of what we've always heard was happening, or is this something new?
Not necessarily. It might not be the same. Like, what's always been happening is guys getting paid, guys getting money under the table. But what might be new is the feds are involved this time because they allegedly, reportedly, we're not sure if it's true, wiretapped Arizona coach Sean Miller having a conversation about maybe paying a player $100,000 to get him to come to Arizona. Again, wow. We don't know if that's true or not, but what's different this time is that the feds may be involved. And if they are, that's not a good thing. That's next level stuff.
How widespread do you think this investigation seems to be going to lots of schools across the country? How widespread do you think this problem is of people getting $2,000, $4,000, $10,000, in some cases $40,000 to play?
Or $100,000. I mean, it's widespread. It's. I can't tell you exactly where it's going on or how often it's going on, but I can tell you that it is going on. It's always been going on, and it's not just basketball. It's football as well. See, what happens here, and people want to understand why this happens, when you've got athletes making everybody else crazy, crazy money, and they're not fairly compensated, there's going to be a black market, and somebody's going to jump in, and they're going to fill the void. Now, the other side of that is, and I talk about this on the show all the time, people say they are getting paid. They get scholarships. Scholarships are worth a ton of money. Yeah, to me, to you, but not to the guys that are making schools millions and millions and millions of dollars. So what this means is the system is busted. They've got to fix it, and they better do it sooner than later because it's going to rip apart.
And I'm trying to look down the road to see when they reach some conclusions on the guilt of these schools. Are there going to be tons of NCAA violations, like a bunch of schools are not going to be able to compete at bowl games and things like that?
Well, see, in terms of the NCAA tournament, you wonder about that, right? Because
yeah.
If they come for everybody and they start taking down the big dogs, the blue chips, the big-time players, the big-time programs, the big-time coaches, how's that going to look? I mean, March Madness is the thing because you get the biggest names and the biggest programs, and I don't think networks want to pay out billions of dollars to see a bunch of scrubs on TV. So it's hard for me to imagine with all the money on the table that they're going to start taking down everybody like that, but I'm sure they could if they wanted to. It's that widespread.
And I also wonder who they're going to end up deciding is the person that can be charged and tried and possibly go to jail. Yeah, who's going to be the person? Because in these schools, there must be multiple people who are aware of it. How do you assign the blame?
Well, not only that, but the issue is it just a rules violation? Is it an NCAA thing or is it a criminal thing? I mean, are we talking about if the FBI is involved and we're talking about wiretaps and transfers and things going on across state lines, we could be talking about criminal offenses. I'm not seeing any crimes have been committed right now, but that would be the difference. Not just guys breaking rules, but guys violating laws. So it bears repeating that it doesn't work. And what do you do? I'd go with the Olympic model, you know, where the athletes can have endorsements. The argument against that is, yeah, but if they're paid, people won't want to watch them, right? Just like the Olympics. They're paid. Everybody watches it. It's going to be fine. Change the system.
Well, this is a story that's going to be going on for a while, so thank you for explaining that to me. Let's move on to last night, James Harden versus Wesley Johnson, one of the craziest things we've seen in a game this year. What happened, Jim?
All right, so what happened last night? Remember the last time the Rockets were in the Clippers' house, they tried to bum-rush the Clippers' locker room, right? So we knew something would go down. What we did not expect was a murder witnessed by 20,000 in the building, millions more worldwide, but that's what happened when Wesley Johnson was in the wrong place at the wrong time, right in front of James Harden.
Harden one-on-one here. Yeah, James doubling up the Clippers. Clean up on aisle three. Clean up on aisle three. Someone call someone because there's a cleanup on aisle three as a man is down.
Uh-oh. My man was looking for Paul Pierce's wheelchair after that. Hey, Allie. Someone call someone, Allie.
I can't. That is the worst
Allie,
call I've ever heard.
Someone call someone, Allie.
Someone calls someone. Come on, dude.
Not only did dude have both of his ankles eviscerated and somebody needs to call someone.
Right.
Even worse was Harden just staring this cat down after he did it for what felt like an hour. And that was cold-blooded. Wesley Johnson, good dude, RIP. Thoughts and prayers to the family and loved ones. Someone call someone.
Someone call someone.
Don't just sit there, Allie. Someone call someone.
Someone call someone.
I hate it so much.
He had to have made that up on the fly, right? There's no way. There's no way he wrote that out as one of his catchphrases, right?
Yeah, and I think we all do that. I think we all have a handful of those things in the event that something like that happens. Time to go to my someone call someone.
Someone call someone.
To quote Allie, I hate that so much.
I hate it.
Wasn't
all
that
right.
Bad.
And real quick, at our final, moments with the gate to Jim Rome, as we do every week at this time on K-Rock, I want to talk about Bow Wow versus Lonzo, because this is just as good, Jim.
I was going to say, you know what's worse than what James Harden did to Wesley Johnson? What Bow Wow did to Lonzo Ball. All right, so in case you missed that, and Lonzo's calling it fake news, these guys had an alleged shooting contest. Lonzo says it's fake because he beat Bow Wow 2 out of 3 times, which means he lost to him once. Uh-huh. And if you're Lonzo, you cannot lose to Bow Wow in anything basketball related. So shock of all shocks, Bow Wow, who by the way was playing without shoes, rushes to the gram to post it, talk junk about it, soundtrack it. What a horrible look for Lonzo. Dude, that can't happen. How do you show your face in the Laker locker room after getting owned by Bow Wow?
That's a great question.
My man, if MC Hammer challenges you to a game of horse, just say no.
Don't take it.
Keep moving.
Any word from LeVar yet? I'm sure he's furious.
Not yet. Not yet, but it's coming.
Jim Rome on the radio, 9 till noon all across this great land of ours, and at jimrome.com. Don't forget also on the SiriusXM satellite radio, also all of your TV on the CBS Sports Network, and the new podcast drops every Tuesday on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get yours. Have a great week, Mr. Rome. Thank you.
You legends are the best. See ya.
I got a story here that it flummoxes me so much. Are we getting dumber? Is America getting dumber?
Yes.
I mean, absolutely.
I mean, it's not my imagination, right? Mm-hmm. Every day there's more crazy stuff happening that you just want to shake your fellow citizen and say, stop it, right?
I feel like probably most people who are incredibly stupid keep it to themselves. But it seems like it's all right now for everybody to come out and just be crazy.
People are sharing their dumbness. Well, here's the story out of Texas.
The disappearance of a fake gorilla has turned into a real debate tonight in Corsicana. The city removed the park statue this week out of concerns it was racially insensitive.
Okay.
What? Is it possible that it's racist for them to do that?
Is it?
Yeah,
yes.
That's insanity.
Absolutely.
Yes. Can it just be a statue of a gorilla?
It was a gorilla, right?
It was a statue of a gorilla.
Then that's a horrifically... That's crazy. That's so racist.
That's what I'm saying.
What?
Let's hear some more.
Got Jason Allen live for us tonight. I know that you learned that the backlash, though, has opened the door to the possibility of the gorilla coming back. Where does everything stand?
It has, Doug. In fact, one city council member told me that there will be a gorilla, but it will not be in a cage.
Okay, so the gorilla was in a cage. We'll find out why later in the story. Does that make it racist? Or, I don't know, are gorillas in cages when you see them at the zoo?
I mean, they are pretty much in cages.
Right. So I have to ask again, why can't this just be a gorilla in a cage? Why does it have to be racist?
I don't know.
Okay.
Of course, they do have a cage here tonight, and it is covered in notes and balloons and flowers, some of it kind of in a joking manner, but some of it serious from people who are upset that they did not get a say in this decision.
After 19 years of climbing on the gorilla cage at Corsicana's Community Park, kids were surprised this week to find the gorilla gone.
19 years, by the way, the gorilla has been there in the children's playground park. 19 years, but now in 2018, all of a sudden, can't have a statue of a gorilla in a cage anymore.
It sounds racist.
It is racist. Here's my favorite part about the news. Allie, you're a journalist. You're practically Anderson Cooper.
Right.
Why in a story like this do they have to include this interview?
It's Gorilla.
It was so prominent, Gorilla Park is how Nora Reyna says her son Jason and other kids know the playground, built with a circus theme.
And he actually walked through there. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm looking for the gorilla. I'm like, it's not there no more.
I mean, we've already established the gorilla has been taken away, that it's
but
not there. What?
We didn't know that little boy didn't know.
First-hand account right there, B.
Man on the street. We
got it.
Brings
it to life.
Yeah.
Is that part of the instructions they give you when they send out the news van, is make sure to talk to somebody about the story, even if they contribute nothing to your understanding of it?
That poor guy knew this was a nothing story and had to fill. So he's like, mom wants to talk.
The city manager, mayor, and a councilwoman decided to remove the statue Monday after concerns some could see it as racially insensitive.
Well, the facts is it's a black gorilla in a cage. And I think that's what I gleaned from all those comments.
Now, that's the mayor of Corsicana, Texas, by the way. Doesn't sound like he's completely on board with the decision, but it sounds like that he's trying to interpret where his constituents are coming from. Again, there are gorillas that are black,
right?
And they're in cages, and it's not representing anything other than a gorilla in a cage. Just want to put that out there again for folks who are confused.
I agree. This is insane.
Yes. It seems crazy.
Mayor Don Denbo told us the cage was put up years ago because the statue wasn't reinforced and could fall on kids. The phone calls and conversations about its appearance, he said, grew, though, in the last few weeks.
Yes, that's correct, Alan. They're trying to protect the children by putting a cage around the gorilla, and that is apparently what upset... I don't know. Is that what upset people?
So
because now it's a black
man
in jail?
The gorilla was fine until the cage?
I guess. I mean, it's been there for 19 years.
Then right, reinforce the gorilla, if that's the issue.
Yeah, well.
Now, however, it's the reaction to that decision growing louder. It started with online petitions to bring the gorilla back, then the tongue-in-cheek messages and displays added to the cage. And this afternoon, Stephen Lord said he would sit here until the gorilla comes back.
Oh, wow.
Now it's turning into a piece from The Onion, right? There's a guy who's on a protest. He's going to sit in the cage until they return Dobby the gorilla.
Are we sure this is real?
This is real. Yes. This is the Fox, I think, affiliate in Dallas. All right. Let's hear from Guy Sitting in Cage Guy.
After what he sees as a city government overstepping its bounds.
But in a situation like this where it's a toy for children, it's only racist if you make it racist.
Thank you.
Correct.
Thank you, sir. I can't believe we're siding with a guy who's got time to sit in a cage until a gorilla statue comes back. But he's the hero of the piece, right?
I mean, this one really does seem like it's black and white. No pun
How
intended.
How dare you? That is
no
racist.
No pun intended. I'm saying it's
Stephen has a couple people with him inside the cage now, and there is a Facebook page that's popped up. There are multiple petition pages, a lot of online comments as well, and all these people now out here tonight. They are planning a candlelight vigil for the gorilla here this evening. The mayor told us that it probably needs some repairs, and they may eventually bring the same statue back. They hope to have a decision on that maybe within the next week. Live tonight in Corsicana, Jason Allen, CBS 11 News.
By the way, there's no story anymore without a candlelight vigil somewhere. So there you go. That's
wow.
That's Texas, y'all. The janky Kevin Abine van, we can call it that now because Kevin spray-painted our name over the sound, which is what used to be on the van, is out on the streets again this morning with K-Rock t-shirts to give away and screening passes to A Wrinkle in Time, which is going to be playing at the Edwards Irvine Spectrum. We have those tickets right out in front of the shopping center. Irvine Spectrum, directly in front of the Target, is where the Kevin Abine van is right now. And Kevin, have you started to see people are already posting photos?
I have. It's a beautiful, beautiful work of art.
It's gorgeous.
If you don't say so, you're yourself, you little artist, you. Hashtag KevDog right there on the back. He tagged it, and it's beautiful. So as long as we can get away with it, we're going to send it out on the street so that you can meet the van and win some free stuff, too. So for about another 20 minutes or so, if you're in Irvine or nearby at the Irvine Spectrum right in front of the Target, you can go by and see that.
How's it going again?
That sounds like Rivers Cuomo, you guys.
I believe, I believe they hired him to sing on the bridge of that song.
Oh,
that's correct. Because they're already very Weezer-esque on their own.
Sure.
Then they just
adjacent.
Sure. Weezer adjacent, exactly. Yeah. Hey, I know we have a bunch going on. Ali's here with What's Happening. Dana Golden's the next room. He's coming in. I just want you guys to know I'm composing my first
daylight saving time tweet right now.
Oh, come on.
It's time. It's a week from Sunday, you guys.
Don't do this to us.
And I love the Huntington Beach Fire Department. I really do. I mean, they're heroes. They're doing great work. And it's great advice to check your smoke detectors, but it's still daylight saving.
Dude, that's way over a week out.
I know, but
give us a break.
But the tweets are starting
you
already.
You can talk to us about it next Friday.
What I'm saying is I'm on duty. That's what I'm saying, is that I'm already
talk
working
to us
hard.
About this next Friday.
Why next Friday?
Because Kevin won't be here.
I won't.
Dana Gould, comedy legend, joins us after 9 a.m. First, Allie, what's happening?
Listen, when I see Deadline saying that Rashida Jones has been tapped to write the new 9 to 5 with the original film's writer, Pat Resnick, and it's going to star Lily Tomlin, Dolly Parton, and Jane Fonda, I am all in. Are you kidding me? I am not a reboot girl, but you bring me 9 to 5 with those three?
Now, I'm confused. Is it, if the original actresses are in it, is it a reboot or is it just a sequel?
Well, it could be a sequel.
I guess
just
it depends
on they're
how they
in
write it,
it, but who
because
knows?
Because a reboot would be
maybe
new actors,
younger
right?
people, and then yeah. maybe this is like they're the mentors in this film. We don't know yet.
Okay,
it's in the early stages of
like
development.
They could be playing the bosses now, maybe.
They could, but no, you gotta have what was his name? Dabney Coleman? Is mm-hmm. that him? Mm-hmm. He's got to be back. Why are you falling asleep, Kevin? 9 to 5.
Holy crap! Are we still talking about 9 to 5?
Oh, of course you don't like it.
You, Kevin.
Yeah, because it's about how women deal with sexism and chauvinism. Of course, Kevin's not into it.
You mean like when women are trying to tell a story and the guy in front of them just starts dozing?
Actually, Bean, that's
on
exactly
what depends on what story they're telling.
All right, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Okay, good.
If Allie were younger, you would have listened.
Nope.
I hate both of you right now. Saturday night strong for the Powerball, up to $320 million. That's $189 million cash value if you decide to take it. Kevin had said, don't talk to me until it's over $300 million.
Then it's worth my effort.
Then it's worth his time
right.
to spend a couple bucks on that. So just want to let people know that. And this is interesting. You know those swag bags that they hand out to the stars at
yes.
the whatever award ceremony? Well, the mm-hmm. Academy Awards swag bags are now the most expensive ever. Apparently, the gifts are valued at up to $100,000.
Wow.
So what's in that bag, you ask? Well, trips to Tanzania, Hawaii, Greece, a gum rejuvenation dental procedure for all those gummy Hollywood stars, sessions with a celebrity trainer, conflict-free diamond necklace and other jewelry, a 24-karat gold facial. Here's my. Yep. That's what I'm saying. It's Bruno Mars doing it.
I get it.
See, cuz.
Sorry. Locally grown oranges. What?
What?
Mexican sodas. And here's my favorite. And an 18-minute phobia relief session.
Okay.
I mean,
phobia
come
relief
on.
Session.
So you sit down with a therapist and you're like, I'm afraid of spiders. All right. 18 minutes later, you're good. Come on.
And this is for whom? Who gets these baskets? Presenters?
I believe it's all the presenters and the winners. Yeah.
Okay.
Not the losers.
But
so
here,
you can be nominated and not get the bag?
You know what? Maybe it's nominated.
Okay.
Listen, it's not in here. But here's why I'm telling you the story.
Yes.
It also offers a $10,000 donation to the animal shelter of the Star's Choice. So I liked that.
That's nice.
That's okay. nice. Which brings me to my next story. You like tattoos? Sure. You like your pet?
No.
Absolutely.
No, there's no.
I'm not saying you're going to tattoo your pet.
Okay.
But what I'm saying, why not get a tattoo using ink that's made out of that pet?
All right. What?
Wait.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Okay.
Wait.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Hold up.
It's not so as gross as it sounds.
Okay. So you kill your dog, and
no.
then you do what with it?
I don't think you kill your pet.
Okay.
This is a Swiss company called Skin 46, and it can extract the DNA of a beloved pet or even a person from its fur and make it into tattoo ink. Apparently.
No.
Yeah. It's a DNA customized tat called Love Ink. They say it's safe. It's made from carbon extracts taken from human or animal material. All you have to do is send in 5 grams of hair from the person or pet that you want made into ink. The company then sends back the extract. You bring it to your tattoo artist and you're like, that ink right there, it's fluffy. Or that ink right there, that's my Aunt Kathy.
I don't get why this is better than using tattoo ink.
It's not better. It's just adding something you love.
Some sentimental value. Like if you're going to get a tattoo of your pet, why not do it with your pet's DNA?
Exactly. Which is what a model named Makani Terra did. She was one of the first people to test out the DNA ink. And she got a huge tattoo of her cat on her leg using ink made out of the cat's fur. Is that crazy?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Right?
That's insane.
All right. I am looking at her with her tattoo.
No. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
All right.
I guess it's just I'm trying to find the sentimental value in it. If maybe it's your dad's dying of cancer, that cut some hair, and then you have a tattoo of your dad, and it's also made with.
But is it more special? I mean, all you're really going to have is your memories of him.
Yeah,
which will still be the same.
But it's also a little bit of, it's his DNA, essentially, that's permanently inked on your skin.
I heard that guy say no about 15 times.
Although, also, your dad's DNA is in you.
Right, you already have plenty of your dad's DNA. I'm looking at the tattoo, the model.
No!
This cat, I mean, this is a huge tattoo. It's way bigger than a life-size cat tattoo.
Down on her leg?
Yes, down from her hip all the way down. It's bigger than an actual cat. She loves her cat.
She really loves her cat.
All right. Well, don't do
that. No.
Yeah, I agree with that guy.
Don't do that.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just letting people know it's an option.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm trying to help people out. Some birthdays for you: Justin Bieber, Jensen Ackles, Kesha, Lupita Nyong'o, Mark Paul Gosselaar, Ron Howard, Javier Bardem, Zack Snyder, and that's what's happening.
I tweeted about this last night. I went back as far as I could in the archives of the Kevin and Bean Show, and I could find no evidence that Dana Gould has ever been on the show as a guest. True or false, Dana Gould?
It is true. I've never been until now.
Huh. That is shocking to me.
I know.
How have we not crossed paths in all of these years?
I just assumed there was a feud, a generational feud of our families.
There was a beef?
Yeah, some still related issue.
And you didn't want to be the one to reach out to us because you thought it was up to us mend the feud?
That's right. We's feuding.
I like it. Well, it's about damn time, ladies and gentlemen. Comedian, writer, podcaster, Dana Gould, here on the Kevin and Bean Show, playing the Irvine Improv this weekend. Now, are you and Allie? Are you guys going to be massholes here? Or are we going to pretend that didn't happen?
Oh, where
in Massachusetts you from?
I grew up right outside of Worcester, or as we call it, the armpit of the state.
Right.
Wow, the armpit of the state.
Yeah. I'm from Hopedale, Massachusetts, which you've never heard of, but it's near Milford.
Sure.
Joe Perry of Aerosmith, his mother was my gym teacher in high school.
Well, look at that.
Yeah.
Thanks for stopping by, Dana.
All right.
That's a great story, but I don't have any follow-ups.
Yeah. And it was very – when I was at a giant, giant crazy party, walking out of the party with my wife at the time. That's another story. And I see Steven Tyler walking in a full leather outfit, eating a In-N-Out burger, looking the way Jim Morrison looks, but now.
Right.
Okay. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
And walks up, and I say to him – hey, my brother used to load your amps when you guys rehearsed at the Hopedale Community House. And he went, you're from Hopedale? And I went, yeah. And he goes, what are you doing out here? And I'm like, I'm in show business. I'm the same as you.
Not allowed to leave.
And my wife didn't know that I'd stopped to talk. And so she kept walking. And then she goes, I thought you were standing next to me. I kept talking. And then I turned around. And you were 100 yards back talking to Steven Tyler.
Thus the former wife.
Exactly.
And that was it. Steven Tyler broke you up.
That's right. And Steven and I have been very happy ever since.
You started your comedy career in Boston?
I did. I started it 2 weeks out of high school. I started
doing
stand-up.
2 weeks out of high school? Did you have an act, or did you just decide to do it and then try to throw some stuff together?
I started doing comedy at 17, and I got good after 30. And that's how I see it. And it's true. I'm one of those, like, I not only as a comedian, but as a person. Like, I meet people that knew me in my 20s. I just apologize. blanket apology. I'm sorry.
Sorry for the way I was.
Yeah, I'm sorry for everything about everything I was. Yeah. If you knew me when I was awake prior to 30, blanket apology. Mm.
So did you come up with Dennis Leary and Barry Crimmins and all of them?
Yes, Barry Crimmins, who unfortunately left us just last night.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. Did you have stories about him?
Oh, yeah. No, I knew Barry when I started out. I was in Boston at that time. Barry was a really amazing human being. He was, there's a brilliant documentary about him, I'm sure you've mentioned, called Call Me Lucky, that Bobcat Goldthwait made. And it's sad. He only knew that he had been sick not too long ago, and it happened
went
very
fast.
Quickly. Yeah, but he was an amazing person. And Dennis, we used to play hockey together. Hockey, the only sport I've ever played.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a big sports dude.
Are you ever in on any of these celebrity hockey tournaments? We had Luke Robitaille in earlier today. You know, his big shootout tournament that he does every year is coming up in a couple of weeks.
I have not played hockey since the president was Gerald Ford.
Okay. All right.
My hockey skates had bell bottoms. That's how long.
Okay, understood. All right.
And since I played hockey.
So you're doing stand-up and finding some success, and then at some point you decide, hey, I need to go to Hollywood and make it as a what? As a writer? As an actor? What were you thinking?
This
what
is
was your plan when you came out?
This is absolutely true. I wanted to write and act in horror movies.
Okay.
I wanted to be in horror movies.
So you were a fan of horror movies growing up?
Oh, that's horror.
Horror, right.
Because sometimes
not horror.
Horror movies. Yeah, I just wanted to be in horror movies.
Horror.
Yeah, you can be in horror movies. I live in the valley.
Sure.
They're shooting all over the place.
Sure.
And I thought, well, this is what I'll do. I'll become a big star. I'll become a movie star.
Okay.
And I'll have so much power that they will that I can write my own movies and they'll let me be in them. It was the most bass-ackwards way of becoming a writer.
And how did that work?
It was like, I want to be a pastry chef. And if I'm elected president, they'll have to let me bake any pastry I want.
Dana, as a student of the genre, are there any examples of big stars who have used their capital in Hollywood to make a horror movie?
That's a great question. Yes, but not as the star. John Landis had made American Werewolf in London, and he made it after he had done Animal House and the Blues Brothers.
All right.
And he was like,
so
most...
he got to a point where he could make whatever movie he wanted.
Well, it's a great story about Hollywood, and John's a great guy and a good buddy of mine, and he tells this story. He goes, like, I'd made Animal House, which was the biggest grossing comedy, the most successful comedy of all time, and then I made the Blues Brothers, which made a giant boatload of cash. And then I went to Universal and they said, I want to make this really small horror movie. No.
I got to tell you, we've talked to so many people and we get the exact same story. How is that possible?
The turd sandwich is like those foot massage places in New Orleans. They serve it 24/7, 365.
But we always think if somebody makes huge money on a project, they're greenlit.
That was
That's
Tuesday.
Good.
That was Tuesday.
Wow. Yeah, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, no, it's true.
But he did make American Werewolf in London, and it was a huge hit, right?
Yes, it was a hit, yeah.
I feel like it had legs. I feel like it's a movie people still love, though.
I love it. Well, I have a TV show on IFC called Stand Against Evil, which is basically my version of an American Werewolf in London.
I would have heard of that if you hadn't.
so you're denying him?
If that show were on the air, I would know about it.
It's on IFC. You need a UHF antenna still.
Okay.
Yeah, and the premise of that show is, what if my dad was Buffy the Vampire Slayer? And it's like, what if my dad had to fight monsters? This old Massachusetts kind of bigoted guy. John McGinley is the lead. McGinley from Scrubs.
He's great.
Yeah, I've often described my father as Archie Bunker without the elegance and sophistication.
Wow.
Now, where are you from in Massachusetts?
My family is all from there. My mom's a Lexington girl, and my father's a Dorchester guy.
Oh, nice. Dorchester.
Yeah,
so you're not messing around.
Yeah. I went to Boston College.
That accent is so terrible.
It is gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. What are you? I can't say any of the words.
Well, the thing with the accent, and I always laugh at my mother, is she drops the R and then adds the R where there should be A. So she'll be, when I was a kid, she'd be like, hop in the cab, we're getting pizza. Like,
yeah,
no, ma.
Cuber.
Like that, no.
Yeah. Wait, you want to go Cuber?
Q-Bert, exactly.
I was did you have the accent?
Oh, I had a ghastly accent.
Oh, yeah. You had to lose it.
Did you actively lose it?
I had it beaten out of me by an acting teacher. I was
that acting teacher did the right thing.
Yes.
You're drunk now, does it come back?
No, but when I go home, it comes back. I'll be home like 3 days. Where's Ma? Where's Ma? We should go to Hatland.
That is terrible.
Oh, they have due coupons. Yeah. Don't have it. So, if you are going to pay for phone sex and you see like a 617 area code, don't do it.
Don't do it. Okay.
What are you wearing? Are you wearing nothing? I'm naked. God, I'm cold. Stay away from Minnesota, too.
Okay.
That tip.
You turned on, he?
I'm David Gold is here. Tool. We have to take a break. I'm sorry, Data. Please stand by. The reason he's here, by the way, let me mention this for folks who can't stay with us, is you're on the road and now in town at the Irvine Improv starting tonight, right?
Right. The ghettos of Irvine.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Tickets are just $20, you guys.
Oh,
IrvineImprov.com. I know. You're getting ripped
off,
dude.
More than that.
More with Dana right after this on K-Rock. Comedian, podcaster, writer, Dana Gould in studio with us here on the Kevin Amin Show. Yeah, you heard me. He's here at the Irvine Improv tonight. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, and then the wrap-up show on Sunday night. Tickets just $20 at IrvineImprov.com. Dana, since we've never had you in, there's so many things we've been dying to ask you. But I don't know how you don't walk into every room and lead with, oh, yeah, I know Jay-Z and Beyonce. How is that not the first thing out of your mouth every time you meet somebody?
We've had cake.
Right.
I'll just leave it at that.
That's more than the rest of us have had.
It was the strangest thing. Their daughter goes to school with my daughter.
Okay.
And we were at a birthday party. There's a point in your life when your kids are a certain age when every weekend is just pizza and cake.
Yep.
Yeah.
And pizza and juice boxes.
Yep.
And
not to mention what the kids eat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so we're at this birthday party at this place called Cake Mix.
Oh, sure. Duff Goldman's place.
It's the Color Me Mine. It's Color Me Mine, but with cake.
Yes, okay. Amazing.
Again, why didn't I think of that?
Right?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's genius.
Do you see these things and you wish you had the idea?
Of course.
You don't have to dump me, but I'm gonna graze this topic.
Okay.
Anal beads.
Right.
Somebody had that idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Somebody shot out of bed in the middle of the night. I wish there was a necklace so big it felt just great being yanked out of my butthole. So anyway, children's birthday party. Let's get back to the children's
birthday party. That was a quick detour.
That was a great segue.
I have a question for you, though. I always picture Jay-Z and Beyonce as just buying out wherever they go.
It wasn't their party, though, no. Kevin. It was somebody else's party.
Yeah, their daughter was going to their schoolmate's party. And
Okay.
And I'm sitting there, and suddenly you see there's these paparazzi sitting on the sidewalk. Going, what the hell is a kid's birthday party?
Yeah.
And then I look, and Jay-Z and Beyonce are there, who I've seen them at school. I don't, like...
You don't hang out with them.
Hobnob, yeah. But then my daughter is friends with their daughter, so my daughter sits right with their daughter, so I have to go sit with my daughter. So now I'm literally sitting direct, like, a cafeteria table across from Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Wow.
And now the thought has
small
to be...
talk.
So, yeah, exactly. That's the thought that goes in your mind because you feel like you can't say something dumb to these parents, right?
Yeah. Yes. You don't want to be the goon.
Did you have all these thoughts running through your head? Like, what do I say? How much do I say?
I did.
I say anything? It's better not say anything.
Well, I thought of the cool thing after.
Oh, sure.
Really,
yeah. Sure.
You know, which was that Beyonce and I were both on Star Search.
No kidding.
In the 80s. And I thought, I could have thrown that down. But instead, my daughter was just sitting there with a face full of cake. And finally, I just looked up at Jay-Z and I said, I thought she sat here for a reason, but she really doesn't seem to care. And he thought that was kind of funny. So I got out of it okay.
All right.
But it's always,
that's not terrible.
Yeah. No. You just don't want to embarrass yourself. I literally stood next to Paul McCartney at Jimmy Kimmel Live, like, as close as I am to the, like, and
1 foot.
Yeah, and I didn't
say
a word.
That's probably smart.
Yeah, because it was just like,
yeah.
Just like,
yeah.
We talk about that all the time, and Kevin and I have actually reached the same conclusion, I think. Kevin, am I right about this, that you're not going to positively affect that celebrity's day by saying anything?
Yeah.
So if you like that person, just don't say anything. Just let them go about their day and you don't exist.
Or I don't mind the casual, hey, I love what you do. And then I ran into Magic Johnson.
Uh-huh.
And I've been a Lakers fan my whole life.
Sure. You know where you can always see him?
Where?
Jamba Juice in Studio City.
Okay. I'll go there. I bumped into him at a party, and he said, excuse me, and I said, excuse me, and then we fought. No, I'm just kidding. So then I'm trying to figure out what to say, and this is what came out of my mouth. You're great. That's it.
Perfect.
He smiled, walked
that's,
on.
That's I what like, I said when I bumped into Ron Jeremy at a party.
I saw Diana Ross 2 weeks ago at the airport in Las Vegas, Dana.
Yeah, the airport's a great place to meet him.
And I'm thinking she's one of the most iconic figures of the 20th century. Mm-hmm.
Plus,
on
no
so
one's
many
into
levels.
Disco more than Bean.
Sure.
Well, no, I'm serious.
And I really wanted, you know, I mean, these days everybody wants a selfie. I mean, that's what you're after. But in a million years, I'm not going to walk up to a 75-year-old woman as a stranger and impose upon her for her time to take a picture for me. You know,
I just was, that, yeah. was she doing something else?
No, she was just in a okay. wheelchair being you know, taken to the next gate.
Asking for a photo is it's always
what
tricky.
You have to do is you have to angle where
yeah,
you are.
Yeah, just do that,
and then act like you're taking a selfie, but she's behind you.
Yeah, that's what I do all the time.
Right, like they never notice. Wait.
And
yeah.
How do you handle your fans, Dana, when they run into you? Because you must have crazy because of The Simpsons alone. You must have some super fans out there who are just over the moon to meet you, right?
Yeah, I'm always nice. I was I was really. You know how they say don't meet your heroes?
Yes.
I actually met my heroes, and they were all great.
Wow.
You know? And George Carlin was a giant hero of mine, and I knew him a little bit.
We used to have him on the show quite a bit.
Yeah,
he was wonderful.
He's as funny a guy as he was.
Yeah.
He was a nicer guy than he was funny.
Yeah, agreed.
And I was talking to him once, and a guy just interrupted it. In the middle of a conversation, I saw you in Milwaukee in 1974. And he was very nice, and George. And then the guy kind of walked away, and George just looked at me and he goes, "You know, that moment's about him. It's not about me." And that's really, huh. He goes, "Yeah,
wow,
yeah." No, he was a super nice guy.
Is he your number one? Was he your number one hero?
Yeah, totally. Totally. He was. I got because I grew up in this giant family in Massachusetts. You know, it's Irish Catholic. You know. Death before prophylactics. It's too many kids. And the only thing that everybody would shut up about was when George Carlin was on television. That was like the only time that everybody was quiet. And I was like, oh, all right, well, that seems like a good thing. I'll do that.
That's how you decided to get into comedy?
I think it was. I knew it really easy. And I had a big, crazy family. And it's funny because I have three children and they're adopted. And they're from China. And people always go like, why'd you adopt? I'm like, I don't know. Let me look at my family. Religious weirdo, gun nut, biker, boozer, dead tooth, too many cats, the guy who talks to his truck. Maybe I adopted because genetically my junk only makes poison. And you know, my ex-wife, kid mom, is whiter than I am, if you can believe that.
Is
you know,
that like, possible?
Yeah, it's pretty dark. Okay.
So she's see-through.
Yeah, we look like a photo negative of Jay-Z and Beyonce. But we would walk around with these three Chinese girls, and usually, like, and more often than not, women would come up, so you adopted. That's wonderful. What went into that decision? Like, I'm not going to tell you. Pie-eyed weirdo at the farmer's market? It's a private decision. I don't go up to people with biological children. What happened here? Somebody come home late and drop a load of tot nog in the baby bunker? What's going on?
Dana, you are a delight, and I am.
Why have we feuded for 3 decades?
I don't know. I'm so glad we put that behind
us. Behind us now, though. Officially,
it's for the best.
Let's have you again in like I don't know 10 years, maybe.
Okay.
How about that? About 10 more years.
Sounds good.
Dana Gold, Irvine Improv. Don't miss them on stage tonight at 8 o'clock. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, and then Sunday. Tickets just $20 at IrvineImprov.com. A pleasure, sir. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:42.
I feel like a big dum-dum that we never had Dana Gould in before.
Yeah.
How fun was he?
We're not smart.
We're not smart. That's true. Hey, I got time for one more. What's happening, Allie?
Well, I am excited to tell you the news that MTV has announced that Jersey Shore Family Vacation has already been renewed for a second season. All right. Moving right along.
Then.
And our level of enthusiasm for that news is.
I didn't even know it was back on. I thought it hadn't aired yet.
Has it started yet?
Don't know.
Okay.
Don't care at all. All right. What I do care about, though, is remember that little Girl Scout that sat in the back of her dad's car and sang about the cookies? And she sang to the tune of Childish Gambino's Redbone. And
oh, no. It was... Has she been deported? Was
so
she here
sweet.
Illegally?
No. I believe we have a little bit of tape of Charity singing.
I mean, it does make you want to buy cookies. So she's adorable, and she's been arrested for what?
I've said that for years. Tagalongs make you feel fine.
Sure.
Absolutely.
You
she has not been...
When Dad starts singing, she's snapping with
oh,
both
yeah.
fingers.
They are feeling it. It is the cutest dang family ever.
Yeah, it is.
Well, turns out that Donald Glover, Childish Gambino, was on Stephen Colbert last night, and he brought this up to him, and he said, it's beautiful, but it's also crazy to me. I was never like, I'll make this, and one day a little Girl Scout will sell Girl Scout cookies to it. And then out comes Charity. So Stephen Colbert brought out the little girl, who promptly gave an order form to Donald Glover.
Strong.
She's like, buy some Thin Mints, kid. He wound up buying all 113 boxes in order for her to make her goal of selling those cookies and get her badge. So
that's amazing.
Donald Glover, could you be better? And just a quick reminder, again, if you're at work listening to this, you're streaming it, or if you're on your way to work, turn around and go home, sit down, catch up on Atlanta, because season 2 premieres tonight on FX, and I've seen the first 2 episodes, and I'm going to tell you right now, they are amazing. I thought last season was groundbreaking and phenomenal and amazing. These first 2 episodes, I cannot wait
Fantastic.
For the rest of them. So tonight.
Paper boy, always about that paper boy. If you ain't on your grind, then you flexing, you's a hater boy.
How's Paper Boy?
I love Brian Tyree Henry. I love him.
Yeah, he's great.
Oh. And Lakeith, are you kidding me?
Yep, he's the best.
It is. Oh.
I'm with Ellie. Especially if you haven't seen the show, it's so worth it. And it's pretty easy to catch up on.
Absolutely. Get on it, you guys. It is fantastic. And if you missed this earlier, you too, sitting at home, are able to smell like Albert Einstein. Yep, a Brooklyn perfume house has captured the scent of Albert Einstein in a bottle. The blend evokes pipe tobacco, manuscripts, and vintage leather. However, not available to purchase on its own, you also have to buy a limited-run Menlo Kosick jacket from Levi's. And I didn't know this, but Einstein apparently had a signature golden brown Levi's leather jacket. Did anyone know that?
No one knew that.
No one knew that. But apparently it went up for auction at Christie's, and apparently the Einstein scent still lingered, so they were able to replicate it. And if you want to get your hands on the jacket and the perfume, it's going to set you back $1,200.
Smells like donkey ass.
It can't smell great.
It can't.
Yeah. It sounds like Anchorman, like the rich mahogany. A lot of leather-bound books. It's essentially what it is. And rumors swirling that Katie Holmes has given up on her relationship with Jamie Foxx.
What?
I don't believe this either. Apparently, they've been having major disagreements because he refuses to go public with their relationship, and Katie's humiliated, and he took his baby mama out to lunch, and she feels betrayed, and she's frustrated that he's acting like a single dude. I love the fact that they are not out there with their relationship.
This is what's surprising to me, is because she's always been a pretty private person.
Yeah.
I would think that she would be on board with it not being a public relationship.
But Allie's discounting the story because of that. You're saying you don't buy it.
I don't buy it because of that.
Because of her. Yeah. Makes sense.
Well, you saw, I'm sure, Allie, you saw the tape of somebody trying to bring up Katie Holmes to Jamie Foxx in one of the interviews around the NBA All-Star game, and he literally just took off his headset and walked off the screen.
Middle of the interview, the guy, he was an ESPN guy, and he said, hey, you ever practice out there with Katie Holmes? And Jamie, like, he literally looks away from the camera, takes the headphones off, and does this slow walk. And they're like, I guess he doesn't want to answer.
That's the worst way to bring it up.
Unbelievable segue. It was awful.
I mean, I guess they were trying to make it seem like it was basketball related. Like, yeah, they were still staying on the topic.
But come on.
By the way, if you're going to ask that question, save it for last. You don't ask it in the middle.
And well, I guarantee they were told ahead of time.
Of course.
Don't ask it. Yeah. But, well, the Paramount Network has announced that they're going to be pushing back their premiere of their TV series reboot, Heathers, from March 7th. That's when it was supposed to be on. And it's because of the recent school shootings in Parkland, Florida. The network released a statement saying, "While we stand firmly behind the show, in light of the recent tragic events in Florida and out of respect for the victims, their families, and loved ones, we feel the right thing to do is delay the premiere until later this year." And apparently the show deals with everything from personal identity to race to socioeconomic status, gun violence. So it kind of runs the gamut. So that show will be pushed back. Which
seems like a good decision.
It is a good decision, but I mean, I feel like they're going to have to keep pushing it back.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, is when is there ever a time when you're far enough away from a school shooting to be able to put it in a TV show?
Yeah, not good. Not good at all. Some birthdays for you. We've got singer Kesha, actor Jensen Ackles, singer Justin Bieber, Lupita Nyong'o. Nyong'o? Why did it sound so weird that time?
I don't know.
Mark Paul Gosselaar, Ron Howard, Javier Bardem, and director Zack Snyder. And that is what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda. Tomorrow morning, we have too much show.
It's the biggest show ever.
We're going to have to start early. We're going to start at 4. Yeah.
I think we're going to have to take like 30 minutes off at the end of this one and then just get fired right back up again.
Greg Girard, who won gold in ski slope in the Winter Olympics, will join us. Paul Tillett and Nick Adler.
Slope style?
What did I say?
Ski slope, and he's a snowboarder? Them's fighting words is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'll take that under advisement. Paul Tillett and Nick Adler will be here talking about Arroyo Seco. Jimmy Kimmel will be here.
Come on!
Talk about hosting the Oscars.
How does he have time to talk to us 2 days before he hosts the Oscars?
He makes bad decisions.
I guess so.
Comedian Doug Benson will be here.
Wow.
And, of course, because it's Friday, we keep it 100. And we've got your tickets for April Foolishness as well. And tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. for April Foolishness as well. That's all I got.